For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Amen. Thank you, Gennaro. Good evening. You guys doing okay? Yeah. You're here tonight, so this is a good night. Hope you're glad to be here. Glad to have our internet audience out there. Easter's coming up. Are you inviting people? There's a statistic out there that says out of the 100% of the people you invite, 8 will come just because you invited them. Easter. I mean, it's what we believe in, right? It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It allows us to share in the power of that resurrection of living a life through the Holy Spirit. So get it. I mean, people will come. So why not ask? I tried that one time myself. I mean, a lot of people think we get up here and we get paid to do this. We kind of do. But we also get paid to exhibit a lifestyle. I hope you guys get this. Everything that we do up here is based around a lifestyle that we're trying to teach so you guys can impart and be in it too. So I tried it out one time and I invited probably 15 people and 11 showed up. So I thought the percentage was really good. You know, it was easy. I was over at Cal State back then. I'm the Cal State campus pastor. And as we do that, it's something that's natural. It should be something that comes out of us, right? It should be something that we have in our normal lifestyle that people are going, wonder what makes them tick. Isn't that what we really want to do? My wife and I had an opportunity because I had a neighbor moving. Neighbors of 15 years, great neighbors. How many people hate to lose a good neighbor? You know, really, it was my wife was kind of in the dumps, and I was kind of like, well, I'm kind of excited. She's like, well, we know them. They're friends. I go, yeah, but they're moving, and, you know, we've had a great opportunity with them, and they're believers. So I'm excited about who moves in. So I came home 2 weeks ago, and the U-Haul's backed into the back, and I just say, well, I'm going to go over and invite them and just say, hey, glad to be here. I'm your neighbor. If you need anything, let me know. And so I went up there, and I was like, who's living here? And he had a lot of friends helping move in. Somebody goes, hi, Pastor Tom. I was like, ew, good, you know? And so I was like, and he's like, well, I'm not the one living here, but I know who you are, Pastor at Valley Bible. I go, right on. So I met the guy that lives there. I go, if you need anything, let us know. I walked over, and my wife goes, I met the wife. And I go, I just met the husband. And it's so kind of cool that you get those opportunities. So there again, I mean, God's giving us opportunities each and every day. We have to step through them. So tonight I'm here and my topic is it takes a growth mindset. And what that means, there's a hot topic out there, is there's two ways to think about things. One is a growth mindset. The other one is a fixed mindset. My wife is always talking about this because she teaches 7-year-olds. She's a second grade public school teacher, and she'll start out at the beginning of the year, and the kids will go, I don't get it, especially this year. I got to hear a lot of the conversations that went on. Not all good, not all bad. I'm just saying, you know, they're like, Mr. Touchstone, I can't ever learn this. And she's like, yes, you can. You don't want to have a fixed mindset. You want to have a growth mindset, and I'm going to teach you things that you're going to be able to learn that are going to help you, and you're going to feel the success of being able to overcome it. How many things do you ever come against something and you succeed and it gives you this, yeah, I was able to do that. I'm not a big fixer guy, and my wife knows that, and I apologize to her all the time. Tiffany, I'm sorry about that. I didn't get that gene. I really didn't. My dad wasn't a fixer guy, so I missed that gene. But I have an old Dodge truck, 2004, so it's, you know, it's old. It still works, still drive it, love that truck. And the taillight will go out, and I go, I'll fix this because I know how to fix the taillight in that truck. And I've replaced it many a times, and I've calculated how much I've saved, which isn't a great deal of money. But it's something I can do. So when it goes out, I go, I got this. So the taillight went out in our Kia the other day, and my wife goes, can you change that? I looked at the YouTube video and go, I'm going to take that in for service. There was no way I was going to change that. I don't know if you guys get this stuff. My oldest daughter lives in Irvine. My youngest daughter just moved to Nashville. And she graduated college in December, and we moved her to Nashville at the end of January, and that's where she lives. So my wife and I have been learning to grow through these things. I don't know if you're in that place where my kids were both gone. We went through the empty nesting thing, but they were both in LA, and so that was 3 hours away. But every time I look at my little GPS, it says my youngest daughter, Tessa, hi Tessa, is 1,800 miles away. 3 days. It says it takes 3 days to get to her. And that bothers me. I just, you know, because she's away. So on Friday, Nashville had tornadoes. And so I was getting videos from her about outside her office. She goes, Dad, the winds are 80 miles an hour and there's hail the size of golf balls. I called her. I go, do not send your parents these videos. There's nothing we can do about this. And you're so far away, it makes me nervous. You know, it just does. It terrifies me. And so so she was just, you know, so 2 nights later, they were having more tornadoes, but there was lightning in the sky. So she was videoing the lightning. And she was terrified that it was lightning and there was flooding. People lost their life. I mean, you know, we're praying for those people in Nashville. And I was just saying, Tessa, just stay in, you know, because if you stay in, at least I know you're a place and they got people around there that can help her. So we've learned to grow through these problems. My wife and I realized that the only thing that can help us besides getting on a jet and taking 6 hours to get there is to pray. And so it's changed our mindset with that. So we're having to grow through this. I hope that makes a little bit of sense. And I'm gonna jump in tonight. And as I keep on this idea, I love the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul has been in our devotions, you know, because he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Apostle Paul had an amazing experience. And in this verse, we'll talk about it. I want to get ahead of myself because I do that a lot. So what happened with the Apostle Paul? He was educated. He was one of the most educated Jewish rabbis there were. I mean, you know, that was his thing. He had a PhD in his religion, but he's also part of the legal system because, as he will say in our verse tonight, that he had persecuted the Jewish people and he did it with passion. So as he was that, he had an experience on the Damascus Road. I don't know if you've ever had an experience. But Paul was going out. He had said he had letters that gave him authority to put people in jail, do whatever he wanted to them, keep them in jail, actually have them put to death. And he had an experience where it was recorded in Acts, so you could look at it. It's a Damascus Road experience. I've had one of those. I don't know if you've had one. They will change your life forever. It's one of those things where he was going and there was a bright light. Everybody heard it and he actually was blinded. And he went to a guy named Ananias. Well, he didn't, but God told Ananias that I'm going to send you this man named Paul. And Paul hooked up with Ananias, but I love Ananias' side of the story because it's recorded there in Acts. Ananias kind of reminded God, you know, this guy's a bad dude. He says that. He said, FYI, I'm going to go pray for him, but you do know that he's done bad things to your people. And Jesus is like, all I want you to do is just pray for him. I get that a lot of times too with people. You know, my job isn't to question where somebody's been. My job isn't to question their past or their sin, because I got plenty of that myself. I just know that my job is to pray for them. We have a saying around our church that our job isn't to clean the fish, we catch them. God's job is to clean the fish. So as you're out there right now, God is hopefully cleaning your life. He's cleaning it up. And he's going to do it through a mindset. So Paul had to make a decision. And he says in the Gospels, and he says in Acts, that when this happened, and after Ananias prayed for him, he had to get away. I'm sure Paul had to get away. And it talked about, he didn't go to the Jewish, he didn't go to Jerusalem where he could talk to the guys who have already worked their way through this or actually had first time experience with Jesus. He got away and he started to pray through it, which I believe, because he tells us that we're supposed to pray with petition, thanksgiving. He tells us this in Philippians. So I think he learned it someplace. But he changed his mindset. That's what he did. He was such a hardcore Jewish traditionalist that he changed his mindset to believing in Jesus and his sacrifice through the cross. And that's all he preached. He said one time, all I preach is Jesus Christ crucified. I mean, he knew the Jewish law, but he just preached Jesus Christ crucified. That's what we all get to do with our lives, because it's the impact of Christ that really should make the difference. So as we pick up in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in disbelief. This word disbelief, and as you go through and look at some of this stuff, and you're honest with yourself, and God knows who you are, that word unbelief there means not able to trust. There are a lot of believers who sometimes get into situations where you aren't able to trust God. Have you ever been there? I remember my wife and I got saved. And we were tithing. I was tithing. committedly. And it came down to a point where our finances were merged together. And I told her, she goes, what should we do? And I go, well, I'm just used to this, but now we're married. We're getting a new experience. You know, I tell all the young people out there are getting married. I did a wedding 2 weeks ago. And I tell them all, I go, you're going to have a change of mindset after you get married. And they look at me like, really? I go, oh, yeah. Because what is now yours is now ours. You know, and they get this weird look on their face. They go, oh, yeah, let marriage change your mindset. It will. If you stay in it long enough, work hard enough on it, you'll change your mindset. But as what we were married and we were tithing, I said, let's pray about it. And I honestly had a thought in my mind of somebody I wanted to help out. You know, we tithe and then we also give, you know, something offering to help somebody out. So I had a number and a guy's name. And I said, God, I can't know if I make it this easy because my wife and I haven't had this experience together. So I want you to give her the name of the person and the amount. And man, if you could do that, that's a big deal for me. And I'll feel that we can trust you with us being together. So every day I prayed, Lord, just put on Tiffany's heart this guy's name and the amount, because then I really want to know. I tell people a lot when you're praying, and Pastor Ron taught me this, if you're praying, pray specifically, because when you know the prayer gets answered, you know it's God. I love that. I love when the little ones get to pray, because if God's hearing the little ones, he's hearing the big ones too, right? They just take a little more time to put together sometimes. So a whole week went by, and I kind of came kind of disappointed to my wife, and I said, wow, I was really hoping this would be kind of a spiritual test that we could pass, but I guess, you know, we're not passing it because I was praying that you'd get a name and an amount. And she goes, Jordan Villicano, $500. I go, what? She goes, I've had this for a week. I've been waiting for you to hear God and come to me. I thought you weren't hearing God. I was like, no way. I go, I got to go down there and get Jordan $500. And she goes, go. So I went, and he was in a Bible study I was doing on Thursday night. I went to Jordan's house, and he knocked on the door, and he goes, what? And I just gave it to him. He took it, and he goes, oh, my gosh. I go, God told us this. And so that's the last I'd seen of Jordan. Jordan goes to our Vegas church. If you're watching Jordan, I'm telling the story. I told it before, but it was an area I couldn't trust God in, and all of a sudden I could trust God. So as Paul's saying, I had unbelief, but I couldn't trust him. God's supposed to build your trust through these trials. And if you let him, he will do that. And it goes on to say, and I'll go to my first PowerPoint. You could bring it up. God wants to transform your view of what's possible. The Bible says, and you got to take it as word, the Bible said with men, all things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. God wants to change our mindset to his thinking. And you know what? That sometimes is where the rubber meets the road. You have to be honest with yourself. My wife and I share this a lot. If you want to come to the marriage retreat, we'll probably do a session. If you want to see, there was a marriage retreat. I don't know how many people were at the marriage retreat when my wife and I got in a fight on stage. Anybody with that marriage retreat? Yeah, somebody raised their hand over here. Well, you did too. We truly did. I mean, we opened up the marriage retreat night. Pastor Ron asked us to. And we got in a fight on stage. It was my fault. And my wife was there, and everybody, 600 people vanished before my eyes. And we were sitting there, and I thought she did something wrong. So I took her phone from her, and I did it. And I go, oh, you did it right. And she goes, yes. She goes, you guys all get to, and she goes, you guys all get to see it. And I looked up and went, oh, my gosh. I was so intent on fixing her. It was me that was the problem. And it's funny because my wife emailed that to a lot of her friends to say, see? But if Pastor Ron came up after our session, he goes, I thought I was going to come up and do marriage counseling. And I go, I forgot where I was. Have you ever been there where you go into something and you just lose consciousness of where you're at? So my wife and I dated, and I've asked my wife permission to share our stories because she's always asked me to do that. And my wife and I dated when we were both unbelievers. And people know that, I think, a lot of times. And we broke up, and it was my behavior. It was my behavior. And I did ruin a marriage of 10 years before her. And I think she was worried about it again. I'm just, you know, injecting that into her fears. And so we broke up, and part of it is what led me to the Lord. So a year goes on, and my wife, Tiffany, calls me back up, and I'll never forget the first few words she said. She said, hi, Tom, how are you doing? I go, good. Haven't heard from you for a while. She goes, yeah, I heard you changed. And I was like, well, I have. She goes, I heard you got religious. And I said, well, I've accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. Have you? And she said, no. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, we had a conversation after that. But within the next week, my wife, who is my wife now, called me again and goes, can I come by and talk to you? And I go, sure, you know, we have a little bit of complex things we had to work through. But I go, sure, come on. So she came by and she talked. She goes, Tom, I need something. I go, you need Jesus. She goes, I do. Will you help me? And I led her to the Lord. So it was, we've never been apart since. We've been married 28 years, and it's all the Lord. It's all the Lord. But as I would used to tell the story, you know, kind of pat myself on the back, my wife goes, you know what though? There was a part of this whole thing that I heard you did change. But it wasn't hearing that you changed that convinced me. It was seeing that you changed. She goes, at one point, Tom, if you'd have possibly messed up and I felt like you were the old guy, I'd have probably said, no, he hasn't changed. I'm looking for the real deal. People are looking for the real deal. A lot of times, are we going to be the real deal? So there was things that in my wife and my relationship, she started to realize this is the real deal. And it's part of it. So I'm here to tell you that people want the real deal. And I do believe this. I do believe that Valley Bible Fellowship, we preach a lifestyle that can be lived. I did. I've endorsed a lot of supplements through my athletic career, but I never endorsed anything I didn't believe in. And I can endorse Christianity the way it's preached from this pulpit. We got the best lineup of speakers, don't we? Starting with Pastor Ron. I mean, if you're going to have a, introduce us all-star lineup, Pastor Ron would be like All-American for 47 years. So the lifestyle that we preach works. The key is that it can't just be preached; it has to be lived. It has to be done. So I hope you hear me in that one. So as we go on, Zacharias. I always love the story of Zacharias because Zacharias is, I think, a lot like we are. Zacharias was a tax collector. And we see him in Luke 19, verse 1 through 10. And Zacharias is a tax collector. So what Zacharias is, he's a guy that's working for the Roman government. So he collects taxes. He's not the favorite guy in town. I mean, he's the guy that takes your money, and he may take a little more. I mean, we just see the story. So in 19:1, they'll bring up the verse here. It says, then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there, his name was Zacharias, the head tax man and quite rich. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. I don't know how desperately you were for Jesus, but I knew one thing about me. I knew I wanted to change, and I was desperate for change. And when I heard about Christianity that was preached, I accepted Christ. It was something that even I've told a lot of people sometimes, and I forget sometimes where I tell it, because I do a podcast and I have 4 devotions during the week in person and 3 Zoom, so I forget where I say things, so forgive me if I say it. But there was plenty of distractions. You know what? When you're looking for something to move forward with God, you know there's a lot of distractions. You know we have an enemy, right? The Bible says that the devil, he prowls around looking for somebody to devour. He's going to get somebody. Ever watch those Wild Kingdom, those Natural Geographic shows? Those lions and tigers and stuff, they usually look for the weak ones and the ones that they can pick off, right? The ones that are straggling, the ones that are goofing off. But the devil's being given that impression that that's who he's looking to get. So basically, the crowd was a distraction because Zacharias was small. Do you know each and every one of us, I do believe, have things that we have to overcome? I've shared that a lot with mine. Mine's my speech impediment. I had a speech impediment which just terrified me to speak in front of people, and I had to get over that. I mean, it was a mindset that I had to grow through to continue on. But the distraction was there. And I don't know if you've ever had distraction in your life. I got a call from a guy, and his name was John Yule. He was from the United Kingdom. He called me during the summertime. He got my number, and he called me, and he's doing an autobiography on a friend of mine. And I'm a friend of mine from Bakersfield, but I didn't meet him until I was in L.A. There again, when I was in bodybuilding in the early years, in the Gold Gym years in Venice, that's where I grew up, the people that trained during the day, and I used to always tell people were professional athletes or hookers. Just what it was. We all got to have the day off. I mean, I don't know what it was. That's just what we did. So a lot of professional athletes and girls of the night were in the gym. And so I became friends with football players, hockey players, and wrestlers. And I hit it off with a really good friend. His name was Adrian Adonis. Adrian's from Bakersfield. His real name's Keith Frankie. And he was Adrian Adonis in the WBF in the 80s and in the 90s. Met a friend of mine who was a friend of Adrian's. His name was Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper was really famous, and a friend of mine, Bret Hart. So we all kind of grouped up with these guys back then. And so this autobiographer called me and said, I understand you were best friends with Adrian. And I go, I was for a long time. Adrian was killed in 1986, 87 or 86, killed in Canada in an automobile accident. And he goes, I'm doing an autobiography on Adrian because he was such a character, if you ever want to look him up, you can, in the beginning of the WWF days. And he wrestled in the WrestleMania 3, wrestled Roddy and Beefcake, Bruce the Beefcake. A lot of their names used to come from their middle names. Adrian's name was Keith Adrian, or Keith Adonis Frankie. Roddy's name was, I forgot his first name, but Roderick. So just the way they got their names. But Brutus was named Bruce the Beefcake. And so we started talking this conversation. He goes, Tom, he goes, I might want an autobiography about you. And I go, well, I don't know if I'd want that written. I have a lot of skeletons in the closet. And he said, well, it was interesting. He goes, why didn't you ever get into wrestling? Because a lot of bodybuilders crossed over to wrestling. I mean, 80s in fitness was just crazy. It just was. It's a life experience. You can look. You don't have to look me up if you do that. I mean, it's just a crazy lifestyle. And so he asked me why I didn't. I go, well, I had a chance to get involved with Vince McMahon, who was the CEO of WWF. He ventured into bodybuilding and called it the WBF. World Bodybuilding Federation. He came in and grabbed a lot of us guys that had headlines of the day. A lot of my friends went with him. I had semi-retired, came back to Bakersfield, and I'll never forget, I got a call from Vince's secretary one time going, Vince wants to talk to you about coming in the WBF. And I go, you know what? I'm ready to get back in. And I'll never forget, I was driving down Truxton Avenue, and my brother called me and said, my dad had a stroke. And I go, oh my gosh, Tim, dad's had a stroke. And he goes, yeah. He goes, hey, can you meet me at the hospital? And he goes, I don't know where we're going after this. And I go, you know, Tim, I can, but tomorrow I'm going to go down and meet Vince. I'm going to probably go back into bodybuilding. He goes, Tom, I wish you wouldn't. It's a distraction. He goes, I thought you were done with this. The family's done with it, obviously. Hope you were. And you know what I told my brother? I go, you know what? It is a distraction. So I was telling you this guy who was asking that I get back here. I go, it had been a huge distraction to me because it hindered the fact that I came to the Lord. I mean, it would have been something that got in my life. I'm so thankful I never, ever went back into that. At Adrian's funeral, I was a pallbearer with Roddy and Brett. And we talked about that. You know, like, Tom, why didn't you ever get into wrestling? You know, and I was like, well, I just, it was a distraction. At that time, I was becoming a Christian. And so I got to share with them my faith. Now, Brett's a believer. Roddy passed away a couple of years ago, and I do believe that Roddy get to hear about that. But there's a distraction that can come in everybody's life. You know that? You have to decide what it is. I still have them to this day. Last Friday, it was a hurricane that was happening through my daughter. But it goes on, back up to that verse. I gotta keep my eye on time. It said he desperately wanted to see Jesus. If you desperately want to see Jesus, if you desperately want to grow in Christ, you can. It said, but the crowd was away and he was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he came by. Next verse. It said, when Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, Zacharias, hurry down. Today is my day to be the guest in your home. Zacharias scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumbled. What business does he have getting cozy with this crook? So basically, Zacharias was so excited. He was just exuberant. It had worked. Jesus noticed him. I tell people, if you're looking for Christ or you're looking for Jesus in any circumstance, you will find him. How desperate are you? I mean, there again, it changes your habit. You know, I tell people all the time that things come upon you that you don't expect. A lot of you guys know that I had a heart issue in August. Came out of me from nowhere. Rocked my world. And as I got diagnosed and I was told a few things, I went home and for the next 2 weeks, I was desperate to find Jesus. I'm telling you, I didn't sleep a lot because my heart rhythm was all over the place. But I knew one thing, I was desperate. I was reaching out to people. They were sending me in verses. And as that was happening, I was desperate looking and I got a hold of Jesus. I felt God put some things in my heart that helped me through because, you know, I could have had the growth mindset or I could have had the fixed mindset and say, I'm done. A lot of people told me I was done. You'll never exercise again, Tom. And I really didn't care about exercising. It was just part of my lifestyle, and it was a great place for me to witness. I've given up everything else. It's a great place for me to witness. And I went to God, and I told him that. But I go, if it's your will, I'm willing to give it up. But I wanted to grow, and I think God put some things in my heart. And you're starting to see some of that transpire because God had put some things in my heart. And I told this to Josh Vietti about 6-8 weeks ago. Josh asked me if I would start to speak again on a Wednesday night. guys, this isn't my gig. This isn't my primary gift. I'll do it. I don't mind doing it. But I always like, I'm the campus guy at another campus. But I don't mind doing it. And so I felt God told me that, Tom, I'm going to use you a little more in this arena. And I didn't fight it. I did in the beginning, but I just didn't. I said, God, whatever you will, as I said it was. But that would mean I think that you're going to help me with my heart problem. I do believe that. And I've worked through it. I'm on a medication I'll never get off of because I have a heart defect. I do. And it's working out fine. A lot of you, thank you for everything you guys, prayers you said. For when I talk about it, you guys are so sweet. But I'm just saying, I was desperate for him and I found him. But I found him by incorporating some other people in my life. So as you see, Zacharias was desperate, crawled up a tree. His insecurity of being a short guy probably came out. Probably looking at it, and Jesus spotted him in his insecurities. He didn't look at the crowd, and he was this tallest guy in the crowd. He looked up, and he's in the tree. He's like, I'm going to your house today. And I think that had to make Zacharias feel super good, but other people weren't so excited for him. I tell this people all the time that sometimes us moving forward in the Lord and us moving and changing our lifestyle isn't always popular to other people. Now, how I say that, I remember coming home from the sanctuary over there, going to my mom and dad's house, and my mom looked at me, she goes, what's changed? I go, man, I didn't know you could notice, but I accepted Jesus in my life. My dad walked out of the room. My dad was not happy about that. My mom goes, well, that's good for you. None of them were believers at this moment. So then as I started to let some of my habits change, I started to not get invited everywhere that I used to get invited. Some of my friends on Friday night would go to Goose's, and they're like, and Saturday morning they'd tell me about it. Of course, I was the only one that didn't have a hangover. But they would tell me, and I go, why didn't you invite me? And they go, well, we knew you wouldn't go, and you're kind of a drag now, and you do go. And so I go, but I'm the same guy. I'm the same fun guy. I like to have fun. I just don't like to drink. I just go, it's not good for Tommy. I get to be around some older guys on a couple of Zooms that I do. And I'm around a guy named Lewis Jones. If you don't know Lewis, you're going to get to know Lewis. I think Lewis is in his 80s. He used to be a warden at some prison. And Lewis has a saying, which I love and I adopt. He says, Tom, that at the bottom of every bottle of whiskey, there's a pair of boxing gloves. You just got to find them. And I'm like, there is. And I go, I think there's a divorce in every bottle of vodka. You just have to... So I adapted. That just wasn't good for me. But it also started severing some other relationships. But in my growth mindset, God added other people in. One of my mentors spoke on Sunday, and Doug did a beautiful job, didn't he? Doug did an amazing job. But Doug was my mentor. He hung out with me for a year and had iced tea with me at Carol's for a year and helped me with my Christian walk. So during your growth mindset, you might be in a relationship that you would never have ventured into without it. I'm in a new relationship with people that I'm doing Zoom Bible study. 16 months ago, I wouldn't have said I like to sit on a computer and meet with 10 guys. I wouldn't have said that's going to be growth, but it is. I'm having so much fun with them because they're starting to meet each other here in church, and I think a couple of them are here tonight. I got to see two of them, and I shared them on Man Cave the other day. I have John Ion from Porterville and Nick Neria, and I know I pronounced your name, Nick. Nick, are you here? You're out there anywhere? Right there. There's Nick. If you want to talk to Nick, I can tell you. But they Zoomed for a year, and they just met each other 2 weeks ago, right? It's just crazy, but it's a relationship. It's a growth mindset, and Nick will tell you how much he grew. He's added it up. He says, there's like 140 years of marriage between you guys. I'm engaged, so I should learn from you guys, right? Yeah. And so he's tapping into our mindset. So there again, I want to get to my other PowerPoint because a couple more things I want to do for the night's over. So we'll go on to Zacchaeus. We'll keep that story going. The next verse. It said, Jesus said, today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost. That's something that if you give God the hand clap, it's all the Lord. I mean, it is all his glory. Because the Bible says that Jesus told his disciples, he says, I've got to go, which means I've got to die. But when I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come and live in your body. Because the Holy Spirit is Jesus' spirit. And he overcame all the sin temptations that man, that's in scripture, said he was tempted in all ways to sin, yet did not sin. So we get to have that spirit who is a prototype living in our body, helping us not to make the mistakes. So as we get to walk this road, he's come to look for the lost. I don't know about you, but I know the difference between what it's like to be lost, and I know what it's like to be found, but I also know that it's a relationship that we're in with Jesus, and we're supposed to grow. So as we're growing in this mindset, in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, now this is Paul. This is a guy that had the Damascus Road experience. He's writing this. He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. That means each day that we're supposed to put our body on the altar and say, God, here we are, use us. That means wherever my feet take me, whatever my mouth says, whatever I let in my ears and my eyes, I am sacrificing this body to you. And he goes, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's your spiritual service, but it's a physical action. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word conformed means, gives us a picture of being a cookie cutter. Like we're being stamped out. You know, I mean, my wife will make cookies every once in a while, and we'll make a bunch of angels and put them aside. So he's saying, don't be conformed. Don't be a cookie cutter for the world. Don't take on that world's idea. He says, but be transformed, which means it's a metamorphosis, which means it's a picture of a butterfly bursting in a cocoon. Because when you see, my wife always does with her second graders, she orders the worms that become into butterflies at the beginning of the year, and they always come in the spring. So each kid gets to put one in there, and they get to watch the worm go into the cocoon, and my wife talks to them about them. But then they get to release a butterfly. They get to see the whole process. My wife uses it for a spiritual connotation. But that's what he's saying is, he goes, don't be a cookie cutter, but be like that worm that crawls into the cocoon and gets transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that renewing of your mind is change for the better, like upgrading a house. You know, don't they get you when you buy a house? They'll take you in and you go, oh, you know, what else? They go, well, we have an upgrade, cost you, right? It's like I said, these things that we talk about in the Lord might cost you something. And I'm not saying that in a legalistic term. If you want to grow in the Lord, you might have to wake up a little bit earlier, right? To get involved in the Bible study. It means you might have to go to bed earlier, you might have to give up that show that you watch your night or something like that. But I'm just saying, if you want to move forward in that growth mindset, you might have to do a little bit of changing. I go, we will break the patterns that have shaped us when our thinking becomes transformed and restored to the way God thinks. And the only way to do that is keep getting a hold of God. And the definition for change your mind is metanoia. It says, it's a Greek word, it says a fundamental transformation of outlook, a man's vision of the world and as of himself. I tell people all the time that the only one that should be giving you an evaluation of yourself is the Lord. Because the world will put you in the mold, won't they? They will say that you're narrow-minded. They'll say that you don't think the right way. But God says we're his kids. We're wonderfully made from our mother's womb. So as you start to renew your mind, you start to see sin no longer as desirable and fun, but the sinner starts to turn away from the sin to the Savior. And he starts to let that faith be shown in actions. My PowerPoint 2 is be aware of the season of change. Be aware of that season, because in Ecclesiastic there's a verse. And I'm telling you, all you youngins, listen to me hard and closely. All you old people, if you can say getting old is not for wimps, say amen. Amen. Because in Ecclesiastic it says that there's a season for everything. There's a season for living and enjoy it. Enjoy your family, do it in a godly perspective. There's a season for dying. Now, I'm not saying just dying physically, because there's a lot of other things that happen. You can lose a marriage, lose a job. A lot of people have lost their job right now. Lose perspective in life. That is happening in combo right now. You know, people are losing jobs and losing a perspective in life. Men, we're starting Man Cave again in person next week over at the Northwest campus in here. If you're here, you know, if you're going to go to the Northwest, talk to me. And it says, normal things can just happen, you know. And so you have to be able to work through this. A big thing happened to me after I had my heart issue. I started going back to the gym, and I let a guy measure my body fat, and that was a mistake. He was a real nice kid, and he said, sir, you want your body fat measured? Sure. What can it hurt? It did. He measured and he goes, oh, you're 27% body fat. And I go, what? I've never been 27% body fat. He goes, current event, you're 27% body fat. I go, oh, no, that's a mistake. Do it again. He did it. He goes, no, you're about 25. That's about average. I looked at him and go, never been average, son. I don't know. But I go, I'm going to change. You know, it's things like that. You know, I wanted to help my heart. But what it did was it cost me something. I started to have to eat healthy. And then came the devil cookies. If you're a Girl Scout person, I love you. You guys know what I'm talking about. My wife would come home, and she would come home from the grocery store. She would carry the groceries in, and then she would come in like this. And I go, what are they? She goes, oh, I can't ever turn the Girl Scout kids away. I go, how many boxes do you buy? She goes, oh, I go, honey, when they come to my house, I eat them. She goes, you don't have to. I go, yes, I do. They're in my house. Anybody say amen to that one? Amen. Yeah. And so so she kept doing it. She goes, but I only bought one box. I go, it'll be gone in like 30 minutes, you know. So it's one of those things that I had to give up eating the sweets, and I love sweets. I'm going to go through real quickly. The third point is that we have to take the necessary steps to change. Now, here at the church, we can help you with that. That's called counseling. It's called small groups. It takes a relationship with you and Christ, and then bringing us involved. I always tell the married couples that the Bible says a cord of three strands isn't easily broken. That means the man and the wife and the Lord. But I tell people all the time that if you have the Holy Spirit, you and God, and adding another person, be it a men's group or a women's study, Nicole does an amazing job. There's a lot of groups. That's that third strand. I just saw that come off really beautifully a few months ago, where I had a guy that was real close to me fall into something, and I called him and I go, hey, how you doing? He goes, good. Why? I go, no, you're not. I know that because I'm being let into some of the stuff. And it's funny because at the end of the conversation, I go, can I pray with you? And he said, no. And I was like, oh. And I can tell you though, but the things changed around. He let me back in his life, and we're working through some things, and he's growing in Christ again. But it took a relationship, you know? It's those things that we have to partner in. So there again, guys, you do that. I got a video I want to show you, and I'm going to bring out somebody right after that. So take a look at this video.
So I'm Jonathan Rizzo. I'm a school psychologist, and I'm a school psychologist for Bakersfield City School District, and I'm the guy who figures out what's going on with the kid. I'm the scientist that's seeing how the kids learn, how the kids think, how the kids behave, but also try to figure out how to help them. This is why I got in the field. See, I was the kid that got in trouble all the time. I didn't fit in school. I got kicked out of everywhere, and you know, people always looked at me like, you know, something was always wrong. And that broke my heart. So I got in the field so that just doesn't happen again. It's not easy because you gotta understand, I'm working with either a kinder or I'm working with an eighth grader. And the things that I'm trying to get them to change their minds about is things that they don't wanna do, right? Right now, it's classwork. They're on Zoom. The last thing they wanna do is classwork. And for me, I'm gonna have to change their mind on to do classwork more. But check it out. It sounds impossible, but I use one quick strategy. I ask them, hey, how do you feel about not doing your work? How do you feel about not being able to read well? Every time I catch them, it feels terrible. The way I get kids to change their mind is I have them identify something about themselves that they really didn't know before. Like, I feel this way and I don't like it. What that does is it gets the brain automatically going. Especially, I'll tell you what, when I'm identifying really deep feelings about a kid that they don't like about themselves, I'll tell you what, think about somebody bringing that up to you in person live and how you would feel. Your adrenaline kicks in, your heart rate's going, you start breathing differently. But in short, you got a lot of good chemicals going on. For me, I'm in the most, guaranteed, the most uncomfortable conversations a person can be in their life. I've been in them already, and I've had to guide people through the most terrible things. But I know for a fact, I know the most beautiful thing is I got to get these people to do something new. And the way I know how to get them to do it is I just got to get them a little momentum. Because this is the key. When we do something we care about, when we do something we really want, the way we have been designed is when we do focus on meaningful and values, Our body, neurochemically, these neurons light up. We get a ton of energy. Your adrenaline is there to give you the energy to do the things that you don't want to do. All those things are taking place. And I'll tell you what, it's almost magical. I can see a flip in a switch in a person's eyes when the chemicals kick in, but when they finally commit to what's meaningful for them. You cannot achieve growth without change. It doesn't happen. It just won't happen. If you want to get some change, well, you're going to definitely grow, but I will tell you 100%, if you try to grow without changing, it won't happen.
I love that. I love that perspective because it brings in the physical part of how God designed us, doesn't it? Didn't God put together an amazing body, and we have to work with what God's doing in our life. So if you want change, we're talking about it. I've got Justin up here. We're going to talk about something real quick. But I say it's as simple as this. I'm going to play on Pastor Ron's purple and red ball of clay. Purple ball of clay is basically a normal man. Pastor Ron says that we're all born a red ball of clay. But we all get an opportunity to accept Christ in our life. And as we accept Christ in our life, the blue ball of clay mixes with the red ball of clay, producing a purple ball of clay. The great thing that we have is we have the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls us a helper. So when we want to change, we have something in us that will help us change. We can overcome the problems that we're in through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. It's a little cheesy illustration. They're going to be mad at me on Easter because the balloon's up there. but Jay too can identify with that.
Yes, so I told Pastor Tom, you can never go wrong with the illustration. I come from children's ministry. It helps. It helps. I love it.
So Jay too's up here with me because about 4 months ago, Josh Vietti came to me and goes, Tom, would you do something new? And I go, Josh, I'm always up for something new. You know me. He goes, would you consider taking over my podcast called Lunch Break? And I sat there, and there's a lot of things that I'll put in my life. And one of the things is when Pastor Ron, or now Pastor Josh, asked me to do something, the obvious answer is yes. And I said, yes. I go, I told Josh, yes, I'll do it. He goes, well, that was pretty quick. You have an idea? I have no idea at all. He goes, what are you going to do? I go, I'm going to go in and pray. We're over at the Northwest Church. So I go, but give me about 10 minutes. I go, do I have to do this by myself? I'm not very good by myself. I'm a team guy. Always have been. And so I usually drag people into things with me. So I told Josh, give me about 10 minutes. So I went in and I prayed. And I said, God, who can I do this with? Because I can't say no. I got to do this. And all of a sudden, Justin's name came to my mind. And I go, huh. Well, Justin and I have done one other venture before, and it was over at the Extreme, and that's a whole other story, we can tell you that, but that was a jump in of faith. And so I came back in, and Josh, I go, I'm in. He goes, that was quick. I go, well, he goes, what'd you do? I go, I went in and prayed. That's all I know how to do. I don't know anything else. I don't bring anything else to the table but that. And I go, but I got an idea. I go, if I don't have to do this alone, what do you think about me doing it with Justin? He goes, I think it'd be a great idea. I go, well, I'm going to call Justin. So I called you, and what happened?
I've had that call before, and I'm very similar. Because I've learned so much from Pastor Tom, I'm very similar. If this was an opportunity that I had myself, I think my answer is no. But because I knew he was in there with me, I went, okay, I'm going to try this. Terrified. My first thoughts were, no one's going to watch. And then second thought, Pastor Ron's going to watch and then cancel me. Because I'm like, because these guys are so wise, and I don't see myself anywhere near their level. So of course, those natural fears come in, right? But knowing that I had a partner in it with me, and then the biggest part, I've jumped into so many things in life recently because I know the Holy Spirit is with me. Like that balloon flying up there, I know I can't do it, but God can. And it is really that simple. And
it is.
So yes was the only answer, and in doing it.
Oh, doing it's been incredible.
You grow.
Yes.
You grow because there's even the third week we had to figure out the person, our guest could not make it in live.
Yes.
He could not make it. So we had to
try to know till the day before,
till the production meeting. And we're panicking on not knowing what to do. Luckily, tech team, we got Seth Parker, you got Vince, you got
Cohen.
Cohen Miller. They came through and they were able to zoom him into the screen, and then we're watching how they do this, and we're figuring out how we're gonna have to change and adapt and talk to a nothing that's right here.
Nothing was working out, and Seth gave me these $7 headsets. And I go, that's going to fix things. He goes, Tom, just try them. So I put them on, and I click this little speaker, and everybody goes, it's working.
Yeah.
And I go, what?
So
the whole show was dependent on this one little speaker that was on my chest. And I was like, but everyone was like, don't turn it off. But the idea is, it pulled me out of my skin.
Yes.
To do something new. But I was excited to do something new because I was doing it with him. And we've already had history together.
Yep.
With a crazy idea that got you a job.
Yes, what I love is we knew we hadn't let each other down. When I came into Christ, it was a friend who brought me in, my friend Jeff. I would go to church because I knew he would come with me. Getting that partner is big. And once again, God hadn't let either of us down before. So we knew we could jump into this, and God's going to come through like he has in the past. And it's not because we're special. That's what he wants to do with you guys.
He does. He wants to do it, he's not a respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just takes that guts to get out and do something new. That's why I love about things. I mean, Louis Pasteur has a saying. It says, chance favors the prepared mind. So sometimes you have to be ready and be able to step out. I don't think God's going to put a big burden on your heart if you haven't stepped out on the small things. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says faithful in the small things, you get the bigger. So Justin and I have been doing our show now for 5 weeks.
Yes.
Pastor Ron was our first guest, wasn't he?
Yes, and he started off with a bang, of course. If you haven't seen it, you should go back and watch.
You should
it's
go
on
back. It's
spiritual warfare.
We're doing it on Thursdays. It's at lunchtime. It's called Lunch Break. We're also inviting studio audience. So we're over at the Northwest, and so we have people coming in.
Yes.
I think you probably thought I was crazy the first time I said that, right?
Oh, another new thing. See, this is what Pastor Tom trumped me on this, because he goes, we're going to invite people. I got to get more confidence, I think, because he says we're going to invite people to watch us on Thursdays. I'm like, who's going to come watch this show on Thursday? It was my first thought. And then the first one, like 13 people show up.
Yes.
And I'm amazed again. But once again, that's why I like having, he said it earlier, you guys, mentors in your life that help you push yourself to places that you never thought you would go.
But that's the fun part of what John and Rizzo says. It starts to get our wheels rolling. It starts to get the juices flowing. So now Justin and I, we have guests, really cool guests. Tomorrow our guest is a guy named Mike Green. A lot of you might have seen Mike over at our Cal State campus. Mike was a soldier in Iraq, and he lost an arm through an IED explosion. Right now, he's on a national commercial for the Wounded Warriors. Mike actually works for the Wounded Warriors. So he's our guest tomorrow. Last week, we had James Burton.
Yeah.
So we've got these great guests planned, but the idea isn't to stop there. Justin and I came out with Josh about 3 weeks ago. Josh says, Tom, give him your big plan. My plan wasn't to become famous on the internet. I have no idea. No. My idea was to bring other people's stories to the internet. I ran into a guy named Bart Tipton. Bart Tipton is our guest next Thursday.
Yes.
Big real estate guy in town. Bart was at the gym the other day, Thursday morning. He walked over. He goes, Tom, I got to tell you, I'm a little worried about being on lunch break. I go, why? He goes, I go, have you watched any? He goes, no. I go, sending you guys the links. Watch it. I go, you know the subject. He goes, what's the subject? I go, you. You know, and his wife goes, you got a PhD on yourself, you know. So I'm just saying, what Justin and I usually do is when we find something that people have done in their life, one of the cool things that Bart has done, I'll tell you this, he was a pharmacist for 20 years before he went into real estate. I'm very interested. He gave up a very lucrative career to go into one that was unknown. He's one of the biggest real estate guys there. Justin and I bring the guys in, and if we find a thread, we pull on it.
Yes.
We always like to ask the question, what is something that no one else knows about you? We asked it of Justin and I.
Yes.
You know, but we've been challenged tomorrow to come up with something new.
We're bringing new ones tomorrow. But the last thing I wanted to say about it, you guys, was what I have noticed is that through everyone's story, there's always a vein to find. There's always a point where they could have gave up, a point where they got stopped, a point where change started happening, and they could have went two different ways, the fork in the road, if you haven't seen Pastor Josh's video.
Yes.
They had a choice to make. And when they made that choice, that's when the questions come in, and everyone watching seems to go, dang, that I resonate with that. And and that's not just these special people's story. I will continue to reiterate that is all of us out here watching. We want to start a movement where everybody is sharing their story with each other, sharing what God is doing in everyone's lives. When we start doing that, VBF, they can't stop us. Yeah, this isn't the J2 and Tom show.
No.
This is the Bakersfield show, and we're going to start spreading what God is doing in our lives, and we're trying to kick that off.
Yeah, and one of the things that I was telling Josh is our idea for the live guest isn't to just build a live guest. We want to add value to your guys' week. If you're over by the Northwest tomorrow around lunchtime, get lunch, get McDonald's. There's a lot of restaurants over there. Come over and have lunch, and then come into our show, because the cool thing that's happened is there's always a God moment there. Mm-hmm. Our first week when I was there, we had a guy named Justin Krause. Justin's brother lost his life 2 days after he was at our show, but we got to pray for him. Mm-hmm. Then we actually had somebody that was connected to Pastor Ron and I show up after a doctor's appointment, and we got to pray with them. Yeah. So it's developing relationships for the body to have an opportunity to minister on a Thursday afternoon at lunch. We're giving opportunity for people to be part of something.
Yeah.
So, and there again, if you watch and you have questions, we always answer the questions at the show the first time. So lunch break tomorrow. Justin, anything else you want to say?
That's it. Thank you guys. Come check it out. Watch live.
Why don't you pray us out, brother?
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for this message today, for anointing Pastor Tom, God, and we all need some change. We all need to move forward and grow in you, Father. So we pray right now, Father, everyone watching and everyone here, Father, that if we need change in our life, you give us the boldness to step out and say yes to something. Say yes to something that we might have said no to before today's message. Holy Spirit, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom as we move forward to know what you are putting before us. We thank you. We trust you and you alone, Jesus. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen. Hey, I'm going to post on our Facebook page four tips to successful living. So God bless, guys. You have a great night. See you Sunday or tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King. Give us our love.